you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Of course, the primary subject that we're going to learn about on this morning is obedience. When a person is obedient, it suggests a number of things, but I just want to impart three basic meanings about being obedient. First of all, when a person is obedient, whether they are a young person or an adult, it says that that person is in agreement with someone. When you and I obey somebody, we are saying, yeah, I agree with you. Whether you or I are obeying something that is right or something that is wrong, we're basically saying, I agree with what you're doing or what you're saying. Secondly, when a person is obedient, they are willing to follow someone. You're willing to follow someone, whether who you're obeying is right, help me out, or wrong. If you obey that individual, person, group, or what have you, you're basically following that person. And we know Jesus talked about how we need to be careful who we follow, right? Yeah, there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. The broad way leads to destruction and a whole bunch of people are going that way. So if I follow folk down the wrong way and I obey with folk that's doing wrong, I'm headed in a bad direction. So I have to be careful who I obey or follow. Y'all still with me? Finally, notice my definition. When you or I obey somebody, it's saying we're not going to put up no fight. I'm just going to go ahead along with what you are suggesting that I do, whether it be right or whether it be wrong. And see, in life, as a young man, as a young woman, it is important to be wise about who you obey. You're going to obey somebody. I'm going to obey somebody. The key to maturing in life as a young person is making sure you are obeying who you should and disobeying who you should. We don't need to agree with everybody. We don't need to follow everybody. We don't need to obey everybody. Would y'all agree? I want you to notice some important groups of people that you're going to have to choose whether you obey or not as a young person or a young adult. I want to look at a few groups, all right? Because bottom line, you're going to obey somebody. Let's go to the book of Luke. And again, we're going to look at some groups. Some groups. Should I obey these folk or these groups or not? Let's look at Luke 9. in verse number 23. Y'all still with me? All right. Now, this first person we're going to look at got more influence to me than the rest that I'm going to talk about. This first one is real powerful. And so we have to make up our mind, are we going to obey this person or not? Y'all ready? All right. Luke 9, 23. Then he said to them all, this is Jesus, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. First person you're going to have to decide who you're going to obey or not in life is yourself. Your own desires. Are you going to be selfish or not? Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you can't obey yourself all the time. You got to deny yourself. As a Christian, there are going to be things that you want to do that God may not want you to do. So you have to decide, am I going to obey myself? I got to be honest, I done messed myself up plenty of times in the past because I thought my way was the best way. Yeah. But my way compared to God was not the best way. How many know God's way is the best way? Jesus said in John 14 and 6 plainly, I'm the way. But how many know sometimes we want to do it our way? Y'all mighty quiet at the MSW. God wants you to make a joyful noise when you praise him, but your way is the quiet way. You want to talk that God know my heart way. No, that ain't the way. God said make some noise. Shout unto me, O you lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's either your way or God's way. And when it comes to God, we need to deny ourselves. Got to deny ourselves if we're going to be true followers of Jesus. Your way may be to cuss somebody out for how they did you. God's way, pray for your enemies. Jesus. But cussing them out sure would feel better, Lord. No, you got to choose either your way or God's way. Giving mama peace of your mind when y'all are not in agreement sometimes feels like the best way. Mama, you make me and you just let her have it. But God's way is, look, be angry, just don't sin. But how many know sometimes sin feels so good? Yes, Lord, am I right about it? The Bible says sin is pleasurable. And so we have to decide, is it going to be my way or God's way? How many can look in your life and say there have been plenty of times where you have done things your way instead of God's way? Be honest. Since you've been a leader, since you've been at a place of refuge, since you got a car, since you got your license, you might as well say since we've been born, right? Yeah, we've all been there. But look at somebody and say, it's wrong. Yeah, as a Christian, it's wrong. Jesus said, deny yourself. How do I deny myself, Pastor? How? Paul talked about how you have to kill fleshly desires. Things that we want to do that we know is wrong, sometimes we have to make ourselves do the right thing, even though we rather do the wrong thing. Sometimes I just have to go and pray to get my mind in the place it needs to be so I can do what God wants me to do. Sometimes I have to meditate on God's word until that word just transforms my mind and I start doing what God wants me to do instead of what I want to do. Sometimes I got to push the plate away. I got to call an old fast, even though the whole church may not be on a fast. I got to call my own fast because my flesh be cutting up. Woo, how many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I got to pick up the remote and just change the channel because my eyes want to keep watching it. And I have to make myself turn to something that would be better. How many know what I'm talking about? Paul said it like this. We have to put our flesh under subjection. You got to make yourself do the right thing. And let me tell you something. It takes more than willpower. It takes the power of God. That's why it's important, young folk, to know that you have the Holy Spirit and allow him to do what he was sent to do. Well, what he gonna do? He gonna give us some power. He gonna give us some power to live right. He gonna give us some power to do the will of God when we want to do our will. Woo, how many know I'm talking right? So if it's not gonna be more of you, and you want it to be more of Jesus and less of you, you're gonna have to deny yourself. Yeah. God ain't gonna come down and make you pray. He ain't gonna do it. You gotta make yourself pray. It has to be your choice. Yeah. Okay, let's look at the second group. Romans 12. How many know we live with ourselves every day? Yeah. So that's the one we gotta work on, right? Romans 12 and 2. Paul says, and do not be, help me, conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, come on, acceptable and perfect will of God. Second group we do not need to obey, young folk, or you're going to have to choose whether you obey or not, are the trends of society. Paul says the world. Am I going to do what the world is doing? Now, John taught that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So you need to understand, if you do like the world, the love of God is not in you. Lord, have mercy. But they're having a lot of fun in the world, but you can't mix the world and the will of God. There has to be a difference. There has to be a difference in you as a young Christian man than a young man that does not have a relationship with God. There has to be a difference between you as a young woman when you compare yourself to another young woman that's not in Christ. What's popular in the world doesn't need to be popular with God's folk. Would y'all agree with that? We're in the world, but we don't need to be like the world. We got to be holy. We got to remember who we are. We ought to enjoy this life, but we don't need to be like a sinner when it comes to how we think, how we talk, and how we act. Y'all mighty quiet. Would y'all agree? See, most young folk in ministry, in church, or Christians, sometimes they cross that line. But we need to come on back on the other side of that line. We don't need to cross the line and be like the world. When we come into God's house, we don't need to worship in God's house like the world. We just need to stay in the vein that God wants us to be in. And that vein is called the holy vein. Look at somebody and say, holiness is still right. Yeah, that's something we don't need to shy away, young folk. That's something we need to embrace. The Bible teaches that we should be holy because he is holy. And it's okay for me to be stylish. It's okay for me to have my own personality, but it needs to line up with God's word, and I don't need to take on the spirit of the world. How many of y'all following me? Yeah. And so it's a constant battle, even not just for some young people, even for some adults. Let that world go. We need to stay in the will of God. I don't know about you, but I'm happy to be saved. I'm glad he called me out of the world. I'm glad he called me out of darkness, and I'm in his marvelous light. I'm proud to be saved. I'm proud to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What about you? I ain't one of these lukewarm Christians that's scared to let somebody know. No, I'm proud to be God's child. How many know everybody ain't God's child? Yeah, I'm proud to be saved. And I made up in my mind, I'm not going to follow the trends of the world. Now I want you to write this verse down. I'm not going to go to it. But 2 Timothy 4 and 10. In your personal time, just read that one little verse. It talks about a man by the name of Demas. What was his name? Demas. Demas was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. Had been in ministry for some time. Somebody that Paul was using in ministry. But the text says that Demas, young folk, he abandoned the Apostle Paul for the world. It plainly says that he left God for the world. So even in scripture, we see folk, they just make stupid choices. And here you have a man that was in ministry, but he said, you know what? Enough for that. I'm going all out for the world. When you think of what I'm teaching, always remember Demas. We don't need to be like him. We don't need to be somebody that leaves God for the world. And see, in the last days, you're going to see a lot of that. The Bible talks about before Christ comes, there's going to be a great falling away. Well, where are these folk going to fall to? They're going to leave God's house for the world. And it's happening right now. But you and I have to be the type of young people, young adults, and adults that are young in heart, that have made up in our mind, no matter who leave God, I ain't leaving God. Woo, I said, I ain't backsliding for nobody. I like what Tyra said earlier. I ain't going to hell for nobody. That's what I took from her testimony. How many feel the same way? You do what you gonna do. You make your own choices. But God been too good to me. I said, God been too good to me. If you want to leave God and chase some money, that's your choice. If you want to leave God and chase what's the latest trends in the world, that's your choice. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Good God Almighty. How many feel that same way? But you're going to feel that pull sometime, young folk. You're going to feel that pull. But don't cast away your confidence. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you that it's more fun outside of the will of God than it is in the will of God. Y'all know what we said to MSW. The best place and the safest place to be is in the will of God. How many know the world make it look real good? Man, they make it look so fun. But isn't it amazing how we call sin fun? I mean, let's just call it what it is. It's sin, right? And you're going to feel that pull. When you go off to college, you're going to feel that pull. Yeah, when you work certain places, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel that pull. When you meet certain folk, you're going to feel that pull. But you don't allow them to pull you, or you don't make the choice to leave God for the world. That's why the Bible teaches, as I prepare to go on to my next point, that the righteous need to choose their friends carefully. You hang around worldly folk, they're going to pull you. You keep hanging around folk that practice homosexuality, they're going to pull you. You keep hanging around them. Now, you like boys, but you keep hanging around girls that like girls. No, it's going to be a pull there. The Bible says because the wicked can lead the righteous astray. And this is what happens. When a person goes astray, they start calling good evil and evil good. They'll start saying things like, ain't nothing wrong with it. God will forgive me. That's compromise. So you have to be careful. Am I right about it? Lord have mercy. Let's go to 1 Samuel. So we have to be careful that we don't obey who first of all? Ourselves. Secondly, we don't obey trends of society or the world. Okay. Thirdly, 1 Samuel 15. Oh, Lord. In verse 14. Boy, this verse is so powerful. It says, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words. He said, I sinned against the word, the written word and the revealed word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. This is Saul. Saul was a people pleaser. He obeyed other people more so than God. And we need to learn from him. Everything God gave Saul, God took it away and gave it to somebody better, because Saul would rather obey other people than obey God. And ultimately, he died because of it. He messed up. Don't ever feel like you got to obey other folk when you compare them to what God is telling you to obey. Never want acceptance so much from your peers to where you obey them instead of obeying God. If someone doesn't like how you are and they would rather you be another way, if it's going to take me doing what they want me to do versus what God wants me to do, I'll cut that person off. And you have to be the same way. Remember Saul, he obeyed folk more so than God. He obeyed folk more so than God. Now listen, young folk, when you talk about God, we're talking about also the people that are attached to God. In the text, Samuel was the prophet. So he obeyed people more so than the preacher. Can we go further? Godly parents are connected to God. Because the Bible says, children, obey your parents. And then it says, in the Lord. So when your parents are in God's will, they are connected to God. You know, you can get to a place to where you obey your peers more so than your own parents. So we have to look at every aspect. Then you got people in our day and time that you know digitally. You follow them on social media, on your favorite app. You don't obey them more so than God. No, I'm not going to share that. No, I'm not going to send you that just because you asking me to. No, I'm not going to take no picture of that and let you see it. Boy, I'm breaking it down real good. Yeah, you don't obey anybody more so than God. You don't be a people pleaser. Well, I'm not going to be your friend. This needs to be your response in 2020. So, when somebody said, well, I'm not, you just ain't my boy. You ain't cool. Just say, okay, fine, so. Bye. You don't emotionally break down because somebody is disappointed that you not obeying them. Oh, you ain't going to give me none? Well, I'll go down to your friend. She'll give me some. Well, bye, go get some from her then. You ain't getting none from me. Bye. That's how you got to be. Y'all laughing. But some girls be like, well, I just let you put your mouth on it. No, ain't going to be none of that. If he already got somebody on deck, hey, go on deck, but you ain't going to fool with me. You don't let somebody break you for doing right. I better say it. You don't let somebody break you for what you're doing, which is right. Folk put all them tears on you, try to make you feel bad. No, I ain't going there with you. I ain't going there with you. Cry all you want. I ain't going there with you. Is that too hard for y'all? Lord have mercy. Look at this. Don't allow other people to influence you to obeying them, or allowing other people to influence you to obey them instead of God. That's just what? That's just foolish. Ain't no way I'm going to obey somebody online that don't know me to do something I know God don't want me to do. Are you serious? Who does that? Who allows somebody online to influence them so much to where they don't obey God? Who can watch a TV program, them folk you don't even know, and allow them to shape you? You should be able to look at a TV program and be like, that's a lie. They ain't going to influence me to do that. Adidas is a brand I like to wear. They just make some nice clothes. They make some nice clothes. But they got this new commercial now where they glorifying trans people. As a Christian, I just don't agree with that. They can't influence me to be okay with what they push. They can't do that. They can't do that. And we have to have that same mindset. Are y'all with me? You ain't with me, Junior. Look at Galatians 3 and 1. I got it right here. Galatians 3 and 1. Look at this one church. They're doing exactly what I said we shouldn't do. Paul said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" Let's read that again. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified." Bottom line, he would say, look, y'all know the word real. Y'all know Jesus real. Who done put some bewitchment on you that you don't do what God wants you to do? Who is it on your team that got you not obeying God when you know God is real? What artists you've been listening to that got you believing contrary to what God has taught? He said, y'all is just foolish. That's hard, ain't it? We would say stupid. Y'all was on that dumb stuff. But we can leave them alone. How many ever been foolish before? Be honest. And you've allowed someone to persuade you not to obey when we were doing that. Look at somebody say, we were stupid. Y'all didn't even want to say we were stupid. Yeah, foolish. Foolish. Went to that church. That preacher said I was stupid. Yeah, according to Galatians 3 and 1. That's what it said, right? All right. So who are the three groups we've learned about thus far that we should not obey? Ourselves. Come on. Trends of the society or the world. Other folk, especially when other folk want us to do what's wrong. And you may like the person. They may be a family member. But the Bible teaches it's best to obey God than man. Am I Bible? Now, unfortunately, sometimes we disobey God. We do. Even here recently, God wouldn't have given me such a message if he knew some of us have had some traits of being disobedient. Sometimes God's folk disobey. What we want to prevent is from it becoming normal or something you consistently practice. Because if it becomes consistent, you backslid. But how many know every now and then we do disobey God? Right? Okay, I need to show y'all something. Go to Judges 2. Judges 2. Judges is in the Old Testament. And I want to show you how Israel disobeyed God and how the Lord addressed it. Judges 2:1. Y'all read with me. I may call on you to pick it up. You ready? Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to help me. Okay, that's what we're going to call it. And said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers. In other words, God said he was going to do something, and then he did it. All right, let's pick it up. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Thank you, Lord. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. I don't want you to start acting like these folk in the land that I'm giving you. You shall tear down their altars. In other words, get rid of idol worship. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? See, God know when we don't obey him. God know it. And then he come back and add, why? Now, I told you to do a particular thing. Why you ain't do it? I told you to leave so-and-so alone. Why you didn't obey me? I told you every day I want you to do this with me. Pray. Why you ain't done that? Now, some folk, God can show them where they've been wrong. He asks them why, and they won't even get no answer. They're not even moved. They're not even pricked in their heart to feel like, oh, Lord, I done disobeyed you. If you ever get to a place like that, young folk, your heart is hardening. Your heart is going cold. When God can show you or I where we've been wrong and it don't move you to repent or change, it's no godly sorrow. That's a bad place to be. Look at somebody and say, that's a bad place to be. Yeah. So when God puts something on the table, we don't need to ignore it. We need to really consider what the Lord is saying. Why you still don't bring no Bible to church? Why? Why you still talk like that when you're not around the church? Why? Why do you still watch that on your phone? Why do you still hang out with such and such? And the list could go on and on and on. Whenever a person is disobedient to God, whether they are young or an adult, if that person does not get it right, they're going to be cursed. Whenever a person disobeys God, curse. Jeremiah 11:3. But I'm young, Pastor. It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter. But I'm good folk. It don't matter. If God done told us to do something and we don't do it, He'll give us some time to get ourselves together. But if a person does not obey God, cursed. Look at Jeremiah. I don't even want y'all to go to it. I want y'all to stay right here and read it with me. Jeremiah 11 and 3. And say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Cursed is the man or person who does not obey the words of this covenant, this agreement, the scripture. He's saying this to church folk. If we don't obey God, cursed. Cursed. Jeez, that's strong, ain't it? To a person that knows to do right and to him, they don't do it. The Bible say that is sin. And the wages of sin is death. Cursed. Death. Ruin. Trouble. Destruction. Poverty. Shame. Oppression. These are words that are synonymous with being cursed. There was this young man. It's been over 10 years. I feel led to share this. It's been over 10 years that I used to mentor. Young man had a lot of different issues. A lot of different issues, but overall was a good young brother. And I used to work with him, and he had some things that him and his family shared with me that was going on in his life. And I used to just give him scripture. Look, you don't need to do that right there. Look, you can do it, man. God will help you. Stop hanging with such and such right there. That type company is going to get you messed up. And so he would just, you know, he would smile sometimes. And sometimes he's like, all right, Pastor B. That's what, you know, that's what they call him. All right, Pastor B. And he would agree with me. And sometimes he would be like, you right. You know, the cordial things we say when somebody is getting on to you. And so, you know, knowing God will give people grace and work with people. But there will come a time to where God just has to know, either you're going to obey me or disobey me. Long story short, the young man made it his business to do what I talked about earlier. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. Years of mentorship, years of messages. He said, you know what? I'm just going to do what I want to do. Left the house. Just left under the care of his parents, left the house and went off doing what he wanted to do. And on occasion over the years, he would hit me up for some consoling, for me to talk to him and so forth. And I would constantly tell him, hey, you need to get back to church. You need to get saved, do this, do that. But he was into his own thing. Long story short, unfortunately, that curse kicked in. HIV. HIV. Yeah. HIV. And I remember around the time when he shared to me what happened. And all I could do was shrug my shoulders and I said, look, you knew better. I said, now, God will bring you through it. But you do understand you have to reap what you sow. See, we are being held, we have to be held accountable, young people, for the things God puts before us. Remember, the text talks about a covenant. God will do certain things, but we have to do certain things. And if we disobey our part, trouble. Trouble coming. Trouble coming. And trouble can come in a number of ways. Now, I'm already going to be in trouble just because I'm righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We're going to have trouble, right? But I don't want no trouble because I'm out here on that dumb stuff. Woo, it's a difference. So being in Christ, young folk, you're going to have trials. You're going to have different things you go through. But the type of trouble that can come your way because of disobedience, flat out rebellion. Y'all need to read my note up here. Read Jonah this week. That's going to be your devotion scripture. Read Jonah. See, a lot of people like to use Jonah as a preacher that was running from his calling. But see, that ain't what the text is about. They be messing it up. Jonah, one of the primary lessons we get from the young prophet is that he disobeyed God. He didn't want to go preach to the folk that God told him to go preach to. He didn't want to, bottom line, do what God told him to do. And so God told Jonah, go prophesy, go preach to this city, Nineveh. He didn't want to do it. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. We're still on that point, aren't we? So check this out. So what Jonah did was he wanted to leave the city where God had told him to go to. He said, I'm just going to leave. And so he jumps on a boat and tries to get a ride somewhere else. Boy, y'all need to read that story. He gets on the boat, young folk, and then a storm starts coming on the boat. I mean a real bad, an unnatural storm. So much so that the helmsman and the people that run the ship, they were like, this ain't natural. What in the world is going on? Who on here is causing this trouble? So this is what they did, young folk. They got everybody together on the boat, and they started having a conversation. The scripture says they were casting lots. Man, what you into? Who God you serve? And so they go all the way down and they finally get to Jonah. Y'all still with me? And Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew. I serve the God who made the earth and the sea. It's as if everybody on the boat was like, yeah, you the cause of all of this trouble. This curse is on us. They bottom line said what Minister George just said, you got to go. We got to get you and this trouble off this boat. Jonah was disobedient. And you have some folk, they just don't understand that they curse themselves because they don't obey God. Don't obey God. I don't want to bring tithe and offering. Cursed. I don't believe you need to go to church to serve God. Curse. Just stupid. When the Bible is clear, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the what? Word of God. I mean, just crazy stuff. But the bottom line is, young folk, Jonah messed up because he didn't obey God. So they just threw him overboard. Ain't that gangster? Get your tail off this boat. Ended up being swallowed by a fish and stayed there for some days. Isn't this amazing? Swallowed by the fish, but didn't die. living in the belly of a fish. I don't see how that's possible. Not naturally. So you know God was protecting him, having grace, having mercy. And how many know sometimes when we know we disobeying God, it ain't nothing but his grace, nothing but his mercy that's protecting us. It's just like right now, you got some young people here and some that may be listening online. Know they been disobeying God, but God been merciful. No evil has befallen you. Not in jail. Not dead. Health still good. Still got the job. Ain't been kicked out the house. Still let you have a car. That's God's hand on you just like Jonah. Being merciful. Being merciful. Still giving you an opportunity to do what Jonah did. Repent. That's what Jonah finally did. He finally said, let me just go ahead and obey God. Could you imagine young people that know they having sex but don't realize God being merciful? Ain't nobody came up pregnant yet. Just being merciful. Should be merciful. Smoking, but ain't smoked nothing laced yet. God being merciful. Scamming, but ain't got caught yet. Talking to another female behind your spouse's back. She ain't found out yet. God give you a chance. Just get it. Get it right. That's how God is. He'll give us a chance. Y'all read about Judas. God just gave Judas time. Till finally he just said, look, go on, do what you're going to do. You just going to disobey me anyway. I thank God for his grace. Woo, I thank God for his mercy. God will work with you. I said, God will work with you. And see, it's time for someone that's here today that know you've been disobedient to realize, man, God been merciful. I can do better. I can do better than this. I can do better. But it's up to the individual. It's up to the individual. The one trait we as faith walkers must be known for and possess is obedience. Paul recognized the saints in Philippi were mature because our text says, look at this, they always obey. I'm an obedient person, but always, that's strong right there. And no doubt, it doesn't mean that they were just flawless, but again, it suggests maturity. And see, as a young person, young adult, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to mature when it comes to being obedient. You got to mature when it comes to being obedient if you're going to be a real man. You should want to be the type of man that your yes is a yes and your no is a no. And you ain't one of these men that's just always talking a whole bunch of stuff but ain't doing nothing. No, you're an obedient man, an obedient young woman. Part of maturity is learning how to obey. And sometimes you don't get an explanation. It's just about being obedient. And that's what my note says. A secret to maturing, when you consider the text, how do I mature when it comes to being obedient? Is fear the Lord. My obedience is tied to me fearing the Lord. I obey because I fear the Lord. I'm going to do what you told me, Lord, because I fear you. I would rather not do it. Sometimes I don't feel like doing it, but I fear you. Get up there, Baker, and preach that message. Teach that message, even though you may hurt somebody's feelings. Yes, sir. Because how many know God ain't just going to tear his folk down? He may give a word that step on the toe, but he's going to come right back and build that person up. Baker, if you don't do it, you do know I get somebody that will. Yes, sir. So let me be obedient. I fear you, Lord. Baker, I want you to do this right here every month. I want you to give so-and-so this amount of money every month. Really, Lord? Yes, every month. All right. I fear you, Lord. I'm glad I got it to be able to give it. I fear you. And see, listen, young folk. God is going to start expecting you to mature in your obedience. And based upon how you respect God, you're going to mature. Yeah. How many are following me? So I got to make sure I'm just, Lord, I do what you want me to do because I respect you, I fear you, I worship you. Sometimes I have my days, but Lord, I get myself together and I do it because I fear you. That's how we have to be. In my clothes, I want to just give you a couple examples that you can also read when you consider Jonah. One person who obeyed God, and we saw it, was Abraham. Somebody I talked about earlier. Imagine God saying, kill your only son. Offer him as a sacrifice. Now, y'all say what y'all want, but ain't no telling what would go through our mind. Amen. A lot of stuff probably went through Abram's mind, right? Yeah. But he obeyed. And this is what, now earlier I explained to you how when he looked at the ram, at the bush, there was a ram in the bush. Y'all remember that? But read this verse right here, Genesis 22 and 12. I'm not going to go to it. I'm going to tell you what it said. Before he told him to look at the bush, there's a ram in it. He said these words to Abraham. He said, now I know that you fear me. How did he know that he feared him? Because he was obedient. Now I know you worship me. Now I know you love me. Because you are willing to follow my instructions. Now I know you're real, Abraham. Because you were willing to do a hard thing. You were willing to do what I asked you to do. He said, now I know you fear me. And see, sometimes before God provides or does great things for us, he got to know if we're going to be obedient. Now, before I give you this, I need to know you're going to obey me. Before I use you, I got to know that you're going to obey me. Because some folk get the big head. God get to using them, blessing them, taking them places, and some folk feel like they don't need God. But see, the real process is God would tell us to do something, sit back, he gonna sit back and see if we do it. He'll discover if we fear him or not, if we'll obey him, and then he'll turn right around and give us the desire. That's the process according to that verse. So if I want the blessing, I need to obey God. The bottom line. Gotta obey God. I gotta mature. I gotta fear God like never before. Then you have Daniel, his friends, and finally David. All these are examples of people in Scripture who obeyed God. David, when it came to Goliath, Daniel and his friends, when it came to the king, they obeyed God. And then God blessed them. How many are understanding? That's the secret. That's the secret, young folk. The secret to elevation is just obeying God. That's the secret. Just do what God says. Bottom line. And how many know God talks to us through his written word and through his prophets? Just like he's doing this morning, right? I got to show you this benefit. Now, I've been talking about it, but let me take you to Job. Let's go to Job, one of my favorite scriptures. Last verse, and we out of here. Y'all hurry up so we can go. Hurry up, Job. Y'all hurry up. The key to getting out of here is getting to Job. Hurry up. Somebody like, I'm waiting on you, Pastor. Chapter 36. Y'all read this with me in verse 11. If they obey and serve me, fear me, worship me, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. See, that kills when folks say it's better outside of God. No, if you ain't obeying God, there's no way your years are filled with pleasure and prosperity the way God wants it to be. But if we obey God and worship him, fear him, every day is a prosperous day. Every year is a better year. And how many know we in the season of better? Are we going to go through things? But that can't stop God. Why? We obeying him. We doing what God said. Trouble going to come. Storms going to happen. But I'm still obeying God. I'm still obeying God. And that's the type of young person and adult we need to be. Just consistently obeying God. And that's where the Lord wants us to be. As a church and as individuals. How many were helped this morning by the teaching? How many could do better when it comes to being obedient? Yeah, we all can, right? Well, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the teaching on this morning. Obedient faith walkers. Come on, let's lift our God up.
Yeah, yeah. You say you're searching for happiness. It's the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you're trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all want to live, this the way to go. The show, 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 this the way to go. The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.